Hey, it's Robert here at Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And we wanted to bring you a never released pre-COVID Throwback Thursdays segment. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Let us know in the ratings and review what you think, and enjoy.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Hi, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And I am really excited because we are doing this interview at one in the morning. We are in Florida for PodFest, and it's PodFest 2020. And how did we meet? On which Facebook group?
I think it was in the Women of Color Podcaster.
Yes, group. I love this group because it's been such a support sister, especially for women. Spotify came out with the stats that there's less than 22% of podcasters are women, and women of color, we make up less than 8%. And it's one, it's obviously a need because representation matters, but then you're connected with so many other women that are doing amazing things in different fields. And I think that's the coolest thing. And I'm like, I wanted to talk about with you. Well, first tell us your podcast, your name and all that fun stuff. But let's talk a little bit about the expenses and the struggles when it is to coming to podcast. Yeah. So,
and 8% is probably pretty good when it comes to representation in media when we look at other areas.
Yes.
I'm sure we're not at 8%.
Right.
So it doesn't sound great, but it's better.
It's a start, yeah. I'm like, it's
than
a start.
In other areas.
And podcasting is still somewhat new, right? It hasn't been around more than 15 years. And so the fact that it's, you know, we're starting to see more of it, and it's definitely something crucial. But, you know, this podcast, I'm always trying to figure out ways on how to help people. If they're trying to make more money, trying to monetize off of it, how to stay away from the tribulations that many of us encounter. For you, how long have you been podcasting, and what are the top two things that you wish you would have known that you know now?
So I'm on episode 34. I started last summer, and I release a new episode every Thursday. So the name of my podcast is School Nutrition Dietitian. It's focused on professional development for people working in K-12 food service. So I am the dietitian, and a lot of my episodes initially were focused more on dietitian-focused issues in school nutrition, like managing allergies, working with children with kidney failure, things like that. But as I have been working through my wish list of people to interview, I'm expanding to things like financial management and morale, leadership, things like that.
I love it because it goes hand in hand. A lot of times we forget that our health, our diet is all connected with, okay, how much am I spending if I'm overeating? Usually it's that emotional side of it. So one, it's very cool that you're doing this, obviously for our youth, because we so need that more than anything. Allergies, oh my gosh, allergy season is here. And for you, since you're on episode 34, that's awesome, because I know after my 8th episode, life happened and I was like, this has to halt and stop. And luckily my friends and colleagues were just like, keep recording. If you ever want to come back to it, you will. And I did. I recorded about 30 episodes. More than half of them are still not published yet, but at least I'm glad I was still doing that while I was on the road. And then I returned the following year. So I think that's something that other podcasters need to hear in case they're feeling like they need to quit or maybe they don't want to go back.
Yeah,
so
it's
for
okay
you,
to pause and
34, you've been doing every week, right?
Yes, okay. Because I'm, this is not a good trait, but I'm kind of an all or nothing type of person. And I knew that if I had a break in recording, that was going to snowball. So I wanted to make sure I had a ton of episodes waiting before the season started. And to motivate myself, what I did was I told people that I looked up to in my field that I was going to launch the podcast.
Oh, I
and
love it.
And then I felt locked in. I'm like, I'm going to look
it
like a
accountability,
crazy person.
Accountability.
Exactly. And some of them, I can tell they expect it every week. My listenership is growing gradually, but the people who were interested before it started are still with me every week. So I feel like I want to make sure I release it at the same time.
That's awesome.
And meet their expectations.
And that's the difficult part, right? It's when you're starting and then just trying to get yourself out there and hearing people to hear you.
Right.
And then second is to keep that listenership. So obviously that's great to have that you have that loyalty. Is there something that you saw that was not working maybe and you switched it or kept going and you're like, okay, this is working well?
If I could go back when I first started recording, I would have started listening back to the recordings immediately so that I could hear what sort of audio problems I was contributing to. I realized 10 episodes in, there was a spot on my desk that makes a noise that I apparently like to mess with during recording.
Oh, yes. I no longer wear my clinky jewelry, my big, my necklaces, the stuff that I love to wear because of that reason. I'm like, I hear it.
Yes. And I did a lot of pen clicking and I could hear myself writing on my notes because I would research my guests before the show, but I like to physically print it out and you could hear me writing notes.
But that's good preparation, and I think some people forget that we're not scripted, but we do have to have our notes because one, we don't want to get their names messed up. Second, we just want to make sure that we know what questions we're asking, especially if we're staying consistent, especially for this podcast being so short. Eventually I did the video because I was like, okay, there's a lot of people that want to see, especially because I talk about representation and I think that's a beautiful, and people are like, oh my God, I could do that too, you know? So it's kind of cool to hear these different type of careers that people are taking. Do you ever remember maybe the first time that you either monetized from it or you thought, oh my gosh, this is actually helping my career so I can get paid better, through the podcast?
Even though it's been less than a year, I already see a difference. I'm fairly new to school nutrition. So I was working in public health before.
Okay.
So I've been doing this for less than 3 years and already I'm recognizable. I'm going to be speaking at the state level conference.
Awesome.
I'm speaking at the national conference and more I'm hearing from people that I would have not known otherwise.
Oh, yeah. So for the entrepreneurs listening to this, that's a big key that she just mentioned, because absolutely it brings the credibility that people can hear what you're teaching, hear your voice, and talking about the real issues that are out there. And so that can give you a better platform to these amazing conferences that are huge. And that's something that I think it kind of goes back and they're like, how can I get more about your information? You're like, well, listen to my podcast, right?
Exactly.
I love
that.
And
then you can showcase more of your skills that you may not be able to bring up in a natural way. So people forget all the time that I'm bilingual. And so I said, well, you know, we're going to solve that.
High five on that.
I'm going to do some episode. I interviewed somebody from Spain that I saw on Instagram who was doing like really neat things around sustainability.
Love it.
And I also like to know how people feed their kids in other countries. So I thought, oh, she'll be perfect. And she was so, so patient because, yes, I'm bilingual, but have I ever lived in a Spanish-speaking country over the long term? No, I have not. So there are things that, you know, like if I needed to know the word for scotch tape in a pinch, I probably wouldn't remember. So sometimes in a conversation, it can get like a little...
I love this woman for this reason, because, you know, that's the big key. We're here, you know, you hear other podcasters or people that want to start a podcast and they're like, well, I speak fluently in this language, but then this other one is not so strong and they're afraid to. But I always tell them, I go, think about it. People that are learning a language, they're not fluent in it as well, and they want to learn, or maybe they forgot and they want to practice it. And for me too, I'm like, hold on, first off, I'm an immigrant, so I speak Spanish fluently, but I always think the critique, right? And especially in the US, it's like everyone's like, oh, you don't speak Spanish well enough. And I'm like, hold on, I don't speak English well enough either. But
and
I know enough to get the words out, right?
Exactly.
Right. So the fact that you still did that, and like I said, she had the patience. So someone that's out there watching or listening, you want to make sure you practice as much as you can, because you do get better. And if you think of that word that you need, like the, later on, you're like, okay. And it happens all the time. I'll throw in the Spanglish word, because I'm like, I don't remember what it is.
That's the funny thing when you are speaking to someone who doesn't speak English at all, then it's like, Spanglish it's just not going to work. But it is helpful to write down keywords that you know you probably are going to need, that you don't use often, and they'll just be sitting right there.
I agree. All my workshops that are all 100% Spanish have been the biggest challenge for me, because there's a lot of financial literacy terms that I've never had to use in Spanish, not with my family. So it's a cool learning experience that we continue to do. So for you, since we're at the podcast, PodFest, 2020, what are we doing to save some money? Because I'm always talking about being frugal and being smart about it.
Well, one, we're sharing a room.
Yes, we are.
So awesome for networking too, because yes. Especially if you're an introvert and you know when you go to a conference, you may or may not really meet new people.
Yes.
This is a sure thing.
Yeah, and there's going to be thousands of people, so it's kind of like, even I just came in close to midnight, and the fact that I'm like, oh, I know somebody now, you know, it's from across the country. I think that's the beautiful part.
Yeah.
And so, yes, being able to, like, hey, bring some snacks, like how we talk about it, and I think it's...
You came really prepared with the snacks. I dropped the ball on the snacks.
No, you're fine. I travel so much that I'm like, I know my snacks. You need to have something. But I think that's the beautiful part of being able to share. Sometimes people are a little embarrassed to talk about, like, well, do I pack the food, but then I don't look like I'm too cheap, or I'm like, who cares? One, you want to eat healthy. You want to eat something that you know you're going to like, and why not save the, you know, I'm not a big fan of the refrigerator with the food in there, that, because, you know, you're going to spend $10. A little peanut is not worth it. So absolutely, we're figuring
out
ways
to do
it.
Even if you're feeling really comfortable money-wise, there's some things that people who are affluent just don't waste money on.
No.
Like, if it's not a good value, it's not a good value. If it's something that's going to make you feel luxurious and you know it's overpriced, but it makes you feel good, then sure.
Right.
But whoever gets a $10 bag of peanuts is like, I'm living. Now I'm living.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not even...
You're just frustrated with yourself. I always think about my mentor. She's amazing, multimillionaire, and she's like, oh yeah. She's like, when they give you those jellies at your breakfast, those nice little packets, and she's like, those are good jams. And she takes them in her purse, and I'm like, this is why she's smart. And it's those, like, she's like, not being wasteful. And,
yeah.
And you know, I think it comes also from the mentality of scarcity too, but I think that's the thing that we need to teach ourselves and to teach others to do the same.
And to really spend your money with intention where you want to spend
it.
So I am still working full time, so I want to really be careful about my bottom line, or keeping my overhead low.
Yes.
As I get my side hustle, like, really up to where I want it to be as my primary source of income.
Right.
So, two, when you're doing something entrepreneurial and you have someone at home who's a little more of a worker bee type, you really don't want to go... I don't want to say anything
it's okay,
too rude.
Say.
But, you don't want to go balls to the wall with, like, spending up all the money,
right,
because they may not see the vision yet.
Right.
So you want to make sure you're kind of conservatively bankrolling the trip.
Oh, completely. And, you know, I think that's something, a mistake. My very first boss, and I love that, was teaching me, was that I think one of the difficult parts when people start a business as well, within the first few years, it's like, okay, well, it's a write-off, or it's a tax expense, and these are the things that I can do for my business. And they'll lease the most expensive car because they want to look like they're, you know, balling out, or they're bling, bling, bling. But that's, and then 5 years down the line, they're like, I'm in debt, or, and I'm proud to say I have no business debt. You know, now that's something that a lot of people can't say, but it's those little things that you're like, no, I can figure out a way. I'm the person in the airport with her bottled water, filling it up every single time. You will not see me purchase bottled water.
Oh, and then there's, like, dual purposes there, because
yes,
it's better for the planet. It's just
true.
Interesting how being frugal has so many positive outcomes that people maybe don't look at, because
yes,
we're so focused on showing our wealth, whether or not we have true wealth and are really comfortable,
mm-hmm,
that, like you said, people would be nervous about bringing a snack because what will people think?
Yes.
Or people may be nervous about trying not to rely too heavily on credit because
okay,
they don't want people to think that they don't have good credit. When, you know what, they're like, Dave Ramsey is loaded and he doesn't believe in credit.
Yeah.
And I don't think he loses any sleep over whether or not, you know, the cashier thinks he doesn't have any.
It's exactly, it's how, what you're comfortable with. Are there any books or resources that have helped you through your podcasting journey? Because I know there's so many more people now getting into podcasting. I feel like it's the next, it definitely is like the next YouTube, where everybody wants to have a YouTube channel. But for podcasting, is there things that you've seen that you either made your episodes better, or have helped you save some money? Or even kind of, what do you use? Are you
really
using a phone?
Pat Flynn has like a ton of free resources.
Oh, I love
and
Pat
I really
Flynn.
Like how he explains things.
Smart Passive Income, if you haven't listened to his podcast or any of his conferences, is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm afraid I'm going to say her name wrong. Kirsten Meiser.
Oh, I don't
know. So she is one of the hosts on... now that you'll have to trim this.
You know, it's okay. We'll do the show notes and we'll put that in there. So Kristen, yeah,
so she wrote a book called So You Want to Start a Podcast.
Oh, I love it.
And it's very to the point.
I love it.
And she was one of the opening speakers at She Podcast. And I had already started my show when I read the book. And I wondered if there would be useful takeaways. But she talks a lot about... She goes beyond the technology, and she has worked as a producer. She's worked as a guest. She's developed multiple shows.
So she's very knowledgeable of the subject.
Yes, yes. Okay. And she's got a nice, an interesting perspective. She's another woman of color, and she is from a part of the country where you don't hear that type of accent very often.
Love
and
it.
So sometimes she gets criticized for her accent. And she talks about how you manage the criticism that will inevitably come when you create any content.
Absolutely.
And I think that is a major hurdle for people. People who tell themselves the technology is in the way or the money's in the way, which it doesn't cost much money to podcast. It costs a lot of time. It is time-consuming.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, time, money.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's something valid you just mentioned is how do you deal with the criticism? Whatever you do, whatever content you're creating, which we call the haters as well. I welcome constructive criticism because we learn, you know, that's how we can become better. But then there's just hateful people out there. And I had just this conversation with my mom the other day. We went to go see Oprah, by the way, at the forum. She's doing this 2020 vision. It was last weekend. Last minute, I was like, she's in town, and I'd never seen her in person. But she was interviewing J-Lo. And J-Lo's like, oh, yeah, the haters, what can you, you know, you could do something great, and then there's always going to be something that's found wrong with them. And I always think about that whenever I'm creating content, you know, it might be 1,000 views or whatever it might be, and then it's like there's always going to be at least 10 or 20 people that are going to hate it. And
yeah,
so how
true.
Do you deal with that for you?
Well, I think about what Brené Brown says, and I mean, it was a quote from, you know, a former president, but still, I'm going to credit Brené, that if you're not the one in the arena,
yes,
doing the work, putting yourself out there, then you know what? How much does your opinion really matter?
Thank you.
Because the truth of the matter is it's very difficult to create things. And people who have done that work are so much more careful about how they handle people who put themselves out there. And you can tell the people that are so quick to tear somebody down.
Yeah.
They don't do anything. They haven't done anything. And they don't know what it's like.
She's preaching to the choir. I love it. And I love her books, Vulnerability, Dare to Be Great. Like, and so I'm trying to think. I think you're right. I think it was Roosevelt or whoever. Theodore Roosevelt, right, that she quotes. But you're right. It's kind of how we're doing it. We're figuring it out as we go.
Exactly.
And we're also, you just said, when we're women of color, we have to make our own pathway. I mean, I don't know for you, I'm sure this happens too, but you ask your family members, you're listening to the podcast, and they look at you like, first of all, what's a podcast? How do I download it? Does it cost something? And so,
well, I'm
it's
excited
also teaching
that they said, how do I download it?
Yeah, so
versus
now I'm teaching them. I have to teach them how it works.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, because so much of my family's older, because
mm-hmm.
my mom's the youngest sibling, yeah, a lot
Same
of people
here.
Just don't really know what it is, but I'm excited that you can decide to put your voice out there these days as a woman of color, and you can do it. You don't have to ask for permission. The gatekeepers are gone. And if there is an audience out there that wants to hear from you, they can find you. You don't have to wait for someone to say, oh, well, you know, you're white presenting enough for me to put you out there.
I know how it is.
So,
we need to have another episode about this, because even it being Women History Month, you know, that's something that you start to see. It's kind of like, well, the representation is still not there. Forbes just came out with a couple months ago an article where the lack of even women events, you don't see representation of women of color. And so we still have a long way to go. We're getting there.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you back, because I think we need to have definitely a follow-up. And you're hitting all these great books and resources, especially someone that's starting out, someone that's continuing or thinking about quitting their podcast. I think this is something helpful. And we need to do a follow-up on how this podcast, a podfest, went for us, because we're both excited. We met so many people already virtually, and to see them in person after months of going back and forth, like, it's finally here. So before we go, how can people contact you? What's the best way to do so? And is there anything that you want to put out in the world that you want to do? It's March, so maybe by the end of the year as a goal.
Oh, well, LinkedIn right now is one of my favorite places to hang out, because LinkedIn really makes it easy for you to connect to people who've decided to be connected to you versus other, you know, platforms that will not be named that don't allow people who want to be in touch with you, be in touch with you unless you pay them, which is like whatever. That's a real bait and switch situation. But my name is Dahlia Kinsey, so I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. And by the end of the year, I will be publishing a book. That's the project I have in the works. I'm very excited about it. And it's focused on helping people of color and queer people fully embrace themselves and get over food issues and basically experience full body liberation. That's the vision. And it's just been so exciting being online and connecting to other women. I found an editor who specifically focuses on helping women of color get their message out into the world.
Oh, I love this. Thank you, Dahlia, for being a part of this. And we're definitely going to have to follow up on that book because we need more women. I love that. I love that idea. And I think that representation will be so awesome. So if you have any questions, if you have any comments, please tune in and let us know. And hopefully we can answer them for you for the next one. But thank you, Dahlia, for your time. And us in our pajamas at 1 a.m. This is what you do as a podcaster. We'll see you soon. Stay. Have a great time. Have fun. And have fun, be fabulous, and frugal. Exactly 20 minutes.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.